The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. I should turn my camera on. All right, we'll work this out sooner or later. It's only been 10 weeks, you know. I can figure this out. It's 11:02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 p.m. on the West Coast, and 10:02 p.m. here in Ilhan Omar, the Jew Haters District in Minneapolis. I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. I think this is episode number 34, I think. I'm not sure. I got to check. I'm not going to check right now. Let me tell you what's coming up. Jeff Meyer, CEO and publisher of Calling News, we're going to be putting him on in a few minutes. Part of the reason we're putting him early is tomorrow, tomorrow's show is off. I'm going on a long vacation. I'm going to the Michigan UP, believe it or not. That's the Upper Peninsula to those people on the coasts. And it's basically the middle of nowhere. And I got a friend who lives there, and I visit him once a year. And we will have fun. It's great. I have to say, the scenery is stunning. You really have to see it. But there's not a lot of people up there either. You know, the interesting thing about that, though, is that I've noticed this. So, you know, the Twin Cities, this is the 15th largest metro area in the United States. It's the 15th largest city, basically. And you go to these places, basically out in the woods, from all practical purposes. But in some ways, they have their own metropolis. Because people are still, you know, for me to go anywhere in the city, it takes at least half an hour. At least, you know. There, you're driving a half an hour, but there's no traffic. You're driving a farther distance, but it still takes just as long. And I've noticed that people who live out in these areas, they essentially cobble together what we would consider metropolitan services. You know where the grocery store is, you know where all your people are, you know where you get your car fixed, and all these places are not in the city at all. A lot of them are really just self-standing. But it takes about the same amount of time to get there, and with the internet, you know, we're going to see more and more of this, not just people moving to mid-sized cities, people moving basically into the woods and working, you know, on what you would call, I don't know, urban projects or whatever. This is going to happen. So I find that, you know, I visited my friend Mike several times now, and I'm just fascinated by how this works. We drive around, and it doesn't take any shorter or longer time than this to drive around here in the city, but there's no city in between where we're driving from. There's nothing except trees, you know, but still, they got it all. They have everything we got. You know, and when he first moved out there, I gotta admit, I thought he was nuts. But when I visited him the first time, I thought, no, this is pretty nice. You know, it's like you give all the conveniences of a quote unquote city life, and yet you're not in the city. You know, more people are gonna find this out anyway. So okay, Jeff Meyer's joining us in a few minutes. Got tomorrow off. Monday, John Miller, the author, is coming on. He's gonna talk about his book. It's called something about the Scrum. And if you don't know, the Scrum is like scrimmage. It's a book about the early history of American football. It's fantastic. You love this. Tuesday night, we got the talk show hosts, the King Brothers. They're in their 20s. They're college students. They started a late-night talk show in their garage in Palo Alto. And the garage is basically the stage. And then, of course, in Palo Alto, the weather's nice all year round. So they put the chairs up in the driveway and invited the neighbors over, and sooner or later the press is coming, and they're drawing 150 people for every show. It's nuts. They've been having a pretty good time. So anyway, and then we got more guests next week too. We got shit going on. So I'm going on vacation. Look, normally I would do a monologue here, but we're going to bring Jeff on right now because I got to admit, I want to wrap this up. I'm leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning. And this show's live. Did you know this? Right up to the satellite, right down to your house or your bed or wherever the hell you are. So anyway, let's run the bumper music. Let's get Meyer on here right now. Jeffrey Meyer, hello.
Good evening.
How you doing?
I'm getting ready for winter.
It's cold.
It feels cold.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Especially a couple nights ago. I think it was 37 or something like that. That's nuts.
Yeah, it's creeping up on us. Hey, when you're up in the Upper Peninsula, why don't you get yourself standing next to one of those 9 foot tall stop signs that they have because the snow gets so damn deep up
there. Yeah. And you're right, they're there, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, I have to be perfectly blunt here. The place I'm going is actually in Wisconsin, but we're 5 miles from the UP border.
Yeah.
So the Wisconsinites, they use the wooden poles for the stop signs, you know? So they don't use the steel ones. So yeah, they cut down a bunch of trees, you know?
Yeah, and they're high because the snow is so tall.
That's right. That's right.
It's kind of like Gaza and Israel up there, right?
Yeah, well, okay. So what a segue. You're brilliant. Yeah, how'd you do that? So what's on your mind here? I know I got your list. You want to talk about Israel, and I got some questions for you, but go ahead first.
Yeah, well, first of all, I know I kind of shocked your poor viewers and listeners last week.
Yes.
With my doom and gloom. Right?
Okay, so do we have to explain this for people that weren't watching? When you were on last week, was it? Or the week? I can't remember. Was it last week? All right. So somebody called in afterwards and said that Jeff Meyer guy is really depressing. It's always doom and gloom all the time, you know? So anyway, yeah, that's right. That's what
I mean, I have a full-size Eeyore outfit I wear for Halloween, like 15 years in a row.
Uh-huh.
That character was built for me. Doom and gloom, just so I can clarify and clarify it, whatever, it is me. 30 years as an uncompensated tax collector is the reason for the doom and gloom. We have never seen any type of government or ruling authority ever not treat their tax collectors with this little respect.
Do you think it's getting worse?
They think we're inconsequential because of these big corporations, right?
Yeah.
Walmart, Target, and the small businesses of America are what drive the economy.
And it's a sin that during the COVID lockdowns, the small business people got shut down, and yet Target and Walmart are open where people can go get COVID instantly.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. It made no sense at all. You know, it was like punishment.
And they just found that the small entrepreneur conformed where the corporations wouldn't have.
Yeah.
They were going to be open anyways because there was no one person to cut the head off of.
Right.
At Target to shut the stores down. But
right.
At the local hair salon, there was an owner of the local bar. So anyway, they perfected this system of tax collection without rewarding the tax collectors, right?
Yeah.
You know, they would give you a couple of chickens or a couple of shekels for doing the labor of collecting the taxes. So my doom and gloom is that the entrepreneurial spirit, and I'm talking true entrepreneurs, not some asshole getting on YouTube and getting a million views for doing absolute producing nothing. I'm talking someone that takes an idea and makes a better mousetrap and builds a real business. And so in my doom and gloom, don't get me wrong, there's tons of opportunity. There always has been in this country. There's more opportunity in the downtimes if you're vigilant and paying attention than there are in the prosperity times, because the money is just easier to find in the prosperity times. In the season that's going to be upon us with the high inflation and whatever, there's going to be some real opportunities for people to build a better mousetrap, find things that people need, that you can make affordable, whatever. I mean, it's just so my doom and gloom is, it's me, but no, it doesn't preclude me from being optimistic about business opportunities. I think downturns, things just more people give up, so you have a better chance. You have less people to fight.
You're talking about the season we're going to get into. So you and I have talked about this before. In the last 30 months, actually the last 32, previous to the last 2 months, all the economic figures released by the General Accounting Office or whatever the hell it is, they've all been revised after the fact downward, all of them, except in the last 2 months where they were actually, not only did we get a Breitbart wrote a story about this. We got an unusually healthy job creation number last month, but the figures from July were, for the first time ever, they were revised upward. Now, I'm such a conspiracy theorist, and a friend of mine's really watched the show and stopped me on this. He said, "So you think then those 30 months in a row, you think the government deliberately fucked with those figures?" I said, "Yeah, I do." Now I'm so fucking paranoid that I'm wondering if the reason it went up the last 2 months is because they noticed that people noticed and they didn't want to look, they wanted, you know, they didn't want to do the same thing again. That's how paranoid I am, that they're still fucking with the
Well,
figures.
you're not paranoid, you're old. And
Yeah,
with
that's
age
right.
and experience comes, fool me once, that'll fool
Yeah.
me twice, shame on me. So, plus, if you're around for a while, you understand. When's the last time you walked into any kind of business and they were overstaffed?
Oh God. N yeah,
I mean, that
never.
just, no, that just doesn't happen anymore. There's
Yeah.
never an overstaffing problem.
No.
So don't tell me that there's a whole, there might be a whole bunch of part-time people doubling or tripling up on jobs, but that still doesn't mean those are new hires in a full-time 40 plus hour a week position.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the things about these numbers is people were quibbling about, well, first of all, the vast majority of hires right now were for the federal government, like 25% of them. The government is hiring like madmen just because they want to make certain when Trump becomes president that the frickin' swamp is strong, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why they need that many
And why would
people.
you report the government numbers? I mean,
Yeah.
it's like putting it right in the taxpayer's face,
Yeah. No, it's
like,
true.
hey, you're double chained to the gerbil wheel because we have, another 80,000 mouths to feed.
Yeah.
It's just a, it's a, again, this ruling class, governing class wants the economy to go bankrupt, right? When they say America is going to go bankrupt, what they're talking about is what happens in bankruptcy, right? Someone comes in, you're assigned basically a babysitter, an overseer,
Right.
right? You can't handle your money.
Right.
We don't want to not make you productive. We want you to still produce. We're just going to watch you closer. So you get a babysitter, and then you're placed in a 7-year playpen.
Yeah.
And so the way I see this is that they're going, if they can pull this failure of our economy off, they'll just get a whole bunch of people, just like in COVID, that will just, they say, don't go to work, you don't go to work. You're hearing about this, a minimum income, more public housing or communal housing. Those, as I see this bankruptcy of America, that's what I see. They want to assign you a babysitter and then put you in a 7-year playpen. Maybe it's a 70-year playpen, but that's when you think of bankruptcy, that's what happens.
Yeah, the only problem, Jeff, is that there's no real me mechanism for the federal government No one's ever come up with a plan or scheme on what to do when the federal government goes bankrupt. And I talked to Murray Sabrin, an economist like him, and everyone's worried sick. And I think you've mentioned this too, about the fact that we are getting dangerously close to not being able to pay the interest on the national debt, on the fucking $32 trillion, you know? So what happens if the... Somebody wrote a novel about this. I mean, I'd love to have this woman on. I think her name is Lionel Bart. And in her novel, the novel is about one single family, what happens to a family. But in the novel, this whole thing starts because the president announces that America is going to default on the national debt. We're not, just not going to bother to pay it out, pay the interest anymore. We're not going to bother with it. And then the whole thing fucking collapses. And I mean, that's what I think a lot of people are talking about, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean, in any bankruptcy, then they come in and they, you know, they review who's owed, right?
Yeah.
Think about it. So the majority of our debt is held by China, other countries.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's, you and I don't hold the debt. Other countries have given us money to make our money more fake. And so they come in and they look at the creditors, and then they assign, you get 10 cents or 2 cents on this mythical dollar you gave us. And so the system's already in place. It would just be on a national scale.
Yeah.
So maybe they have the UN come in as the credit, you know, that the receivership holds the receivership, and they go around and say to China, I guess you get Long Beach port, you've always wanted it.
Yeah.
You're now made whole. Shut up.
Right. Well, now, I mean, so go ahead.
We've seen that in, you know, in businesses that go bankrupt, and in people that, you know, in personal bankruptcy. So that the groundwork's already there of how you sort out the mess.
And if I'm right, if a state goes bankrupt, which California is highly likely to do at some point, it works the same way. Basically, the government becomes a receivership, the federal government, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They come in and, again, they assign California a babysitter.
Right.
And then they say to everyone, here's your playpen. You got to sit in for 7 years or whatever time frame they set. And so they've tested this stuff without having to say, we're testing it, because they've seen huge businesses go under. Look at this Yellow Trucking, right? They just went tits up.
And then the Lehman Brothers. No one ever thought that was going to happen.
You got it. I mean, they've had all sorts of lab rats for anything, whether it's a business or someone with a little bit of wealth, no wealth, or a ton of wealth. I think of the Enron guy, right?
Oh, God.
He went down. The business went down. There were all these creditors. And again, they're not going to write a report of how they're going to do it if they claim our government can't pay the national debt.
All I remember about the Enron guy is his wife on CBS News literally crying because they were down to their last $17 million. She was crying.
Yeah,
not even
perspective, baby.
Yeah, I know, because they only had $17 million left. It's like, okay, all right. And then
in the tech boom, they call that burn rate.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, CNBC was saying the burn rate on this new telephone company or whatever was X dollars. And so if you had money in there, you better figure out what 2 cents you're going to get out of your $10,000 investment.
So, hey, let me ask you about the Israeli war thing. So now an interesting thing happened today. Jean-Pierre, you know, Corrine, whatever her name is, you know, stood up in front of the reporters and actually said that she called the Democrats. She didn't name any by names, but she did say Democrats. The Democrats that were opposing Israel, that were supporting Hamas, she called them, the quote was, despicable. And I've heard several people in the press say, well, if she's using wordage that strong, that means that came from the president directly. Do you, I've actually, I'm, I don't like to give Biden a lot of credit for anything because he's a moron, but is he finally growing a backbone here? Or do you think that...
No. I still, he's old.
No shit.
He's told what to say, right?
You see him
fight it once in a while. You know, like right. He has this glimmer of anyone going through kind of that old phase. They get this glimmer of where they used to be, and he'll snap back at people. But basically, I think he's just told what to say. And again, people are going to say, oh, it's a conspiracy. Now, I'm not saying it's not him standing up there and there's five different Joe Bidens that walk out. I'm just saying his handlers.
Hitler had seven doubles.
Right. I mean, again, so it's very possible Joe has 12.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Right.
Because we're not making it up. That was true about Hitler because they didn't want him getting wiped out.
That's right.
And so I just think that who's ever doing these talking points for Corinne, again, they're feeling that they're measuring what the temperature of the American public is. And the one thing they do know is they don't want religious type wars to start in this country. Because then you get this melting pot of people. You can't just separate them by skin color because it's a belief.
Right, right.
Right? And all of a sudden, it's just there's one line and there's not 12 tens.
Yeah.
There's a couple of tens. We're on this planet. I believe we're on this planet for a reason at this time. I don't think just our founding fathers were on this planet at their right time. We're here for a reason. I don't know what our part is. I don't know what my part is. I don't know what the part of Conk News is or Jim at Night. But we're players in this communication of ideas to counter this stuff. Again, they want to say, oh, we could go bankrupt. I didn't sign the bill to spend the money. So my fix for that type of thing is if you wrote the legislation, voted in an affirmative to pass the legislation, were part of Congress, they take your money first to get the lenders made as whole as possible. I didn't have anything to do with it. I couldn't even control you taking my money. So I didn't have a voice in saying, I don't think that's a good idea, a good spend. And so those are the things I think as we go down this trail is something we could talk about as taxpayers. Like, well, if we owe China all this money, clean out the Pelosi's and the Trumps and the Bidens and see if the Chinese say, well, okay, we got enough. We're good. We're not worried about Jim Peters or Jeff Meyer from Conk News. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't, you know, but those are cards that are in our deck and haven't been played. Now, the media will say, you can't do it that way. Well, why not? Well, if you thought it was such a good idea to create that bill and spend that money, that's in your ass, not mine or yours.
Been the problem like forever, and that is none of the representatives in Congress have any skin in the game of their own doing.
Correct.
They don't.
Correct.
You know,
and but they're there making $150,000 a year and having $1 million homes.
Yeah, and not only that, we can't even sue them for bad decisions. I mean, that's that's the real travesty. I mean, if, you know, but I suppose, you know, I mean, I suppose the logic is, well, you got 330 million people against 425, but still, it's like...
Again, we haven't crossed that line yet. If it's coming, We'll see what happens. But don't tell me that the rules are set. They're not set for that. Because we get to talk to the creditors. Because the Chinese don't want America to falter. They just want their money
No,
back.
that's right. That's right.
So they can knock all the government officials out. And then it's do you, then it, that's where the negotiation comes in. Do I get to continue living my life and being productive?
I never thought about this, but even on the global stage, the communist countries are still capitalists. They just want their money.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yep. And so the Israel thing, it's just one of those things. Joe's plodding along. I mean, think about now. I can't stand the guy. I think. And I don't like him because I think he's the worst fucking father ever.
Yeah.
And
And there's a lot of evidence to that.
fatherhood is your kids learn from the father,
Yeah.
some from the mother, but the Hunter Biden's craziness he learned from his dad. Obviously, his mom was dead. He had
Right.
a stepmother, but his craziness was stuff he saw his dad doing.
Well, I regard Biden as a father. He's the classic enabler. I mean, you know, it's like,
Oh yeah.
yeah, just, I
Well, he
mean,
was a mob
textbook,
boss.
right?
So, hey, we're gonna need someone to do this deal. Hunter, you go do it.
Yeah.
Damn if you're gonna be using prostitutes and dope and all that stuff. Get the job done. But so you have Joe's sitting in a room for 2 days trying to recall documents that he's got scattered at between his house and Penn State University, right? I think is that where they
Yeah,
were at,
right. Penn, right.
right? So he's locked down in a room. And so if we're going total conspiracy, who's ever running him says to Hamas, hey, the president's this you got 48 hours to do what you want. He's gonna come out so confused because they're grilling his ass about when did you take them? Who stored them? How did you get them? You were vice president. You should have never had them. You got 48 hours while he's locked up. No one in the media is going to say that because they don't want people. They don't want us pub people in the public to know he's, doing this testimony.
Jeffrey,
And so.
we should talk tell the viewers because this has gone under the radar so much. I don't know if a lot of people know what you're talking about. But what you're talking about is when Hamas started the infiltration of Israel, Joe Biden was being deposed regarding the documents he took over the 30 years he was. That's what you're talking about. He spent
Yes.
2 days in deposition, right? Yeah. I
Correct.
don't most
Yep.
I don't even know if most people know that.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right. So, and you don't get to sit there and go, well, let me think about it. I mean, your attorney's there and you're going through because you've already sat down with your legal team to get your as many ducks in a row. So when they ask you a trip up question, you don't trip.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're trying to be rested, focused, and then there's a knock on the door halfway through it. There's problems in Israel.
Yeah.
And so he comes out of that dazed and confused. And again, I don't like the guy, but the timing is really, to me, suspicious. If he's truly being handled by someone in the back room.
Well, even if he wasn't, just the fact that he's so mentally impaired. I mean, I gotta admit, I never thought about this. I think you're onto something here that they timed it specifically because they knew he was going to be literally predisposed, you know?
And he'll be always trying to catch up
Right.
because of
Yeah.
his mental
Right. So he comes
limitations.
out of this meeting, you know, it was 2 days, and he's completely mentally wasted, and all of a sudden they start this war thing, and
Yeah.
what does he know? I never thought about this before. You might have a point here, you
And
know?
it now, so it's knocked out all the Trump legal stuff. Now that's going to be absolutely who's got time for it? What
Right.
are we doing this
Right.
nonsense for? I like on the front page at conk.com, there's a cartoon there of Netanyahu holding a sympathy card from the radical left US Democrats that says stand down. And across from him is our friend from the Ukraine with a backpack full of money. Like, what did you get? Oh, it's supposed to be a sympathy
I got a
card.
card. That's right. What did you get? $6 billion.
So you have that whole thing going on, because now you have the Ukraine needs money. We can't walk and chew gum because the House Republicans don't have a leader,
Right.
and if you don't have a leader, he can't get in the secret meetings.
Yeah. Hey, were you surprised to find out? I actually thought they were going to lean toward Jordan for this, but apparently they're leaning towards Scalise. That kind of surprises
Yeah,
me.
it's just a it's a like a short McCarthy. That's all. Scalise is just a short McCarthy. I mean, good guy, obviously. I think a better guy than McCarthy, but still.
Well, he's had his health problems. That's one thing. It's a
Right.
pretty strenuous position, and he's not really doing that well. And I read this today. I don't know if there's any truth to this. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but apparently him and McCarthy have never gotten along that well. Not that that matters at this point, but that also kind of surprises me too, because you're right, the guy's very well liked. Very well liked.
Yeah, and I think McCarthy sees there's going to be trouble, so he pulled his name out of the hat or out of the ring and said, let's let this thing fall apart and I'll step in and I'll get back into position. So it's American government, which means it's dysfunctional. It's a clown show. A little car should show up and they should all pile out of it and with their little makeup on. And you just can't. What do you do? I mean, there's nothing you can, as an American citizen, there's nothing you can do for the clown show.
No, there isn't. You're right, nothing.
So, how these idiots didn't, the day they got rid of McCarthy, start getting serious about it? I love how it's like, well, we'll deal with this next Tuesday.
Well,
Well, Tuesday
isn't it
comes.
amazing, Jeff? Nobody in government ever seems to think ahead. And
No.
I get constantly talk about this, about the fact that Tim Conaway has said year, like 2 years ago, I was talking about the fact that I thought that the all these liberal reporters get together in some private, secret internet forum where they discuss shit, And he says, "No, Jim, they're not that smart. You're giving them too much credit." And I keep. It like,
But they still have to be coached,
yeah,
right? I
I
mean, you may
guess.
not be smart, but we want you to talk in the same direction.
Yeah,
Because if
but
you're
it seems like the
scattered,
government is the same way thing.
yeah, for sure,
I'm constantly like
100%.
overestimating their intelligence. I just keep
Yes.
thinking, oh, they're gonna do the, it's not a chess game for them. They're like two moves behind. I mean, Christ.
Yeah, right.
I don't believe it. And then we pay these people? It's like
There's no choice.
Yeah.
There's no choice.
Okay.
So,
Yeah. All right. I was gonna say there. You sent me a note today, and I didn't quite understand what you're talking about. You were talking about new power and nuclear power. What are we
yeah,
talking
okay.
about?
So you had a gentleman on yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Nathan Wooster. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. And so you guys are, so we go back, we're still talking about Greenpeace more, right? Not 007
Oh
more,
yeah.
but
Yeah. That's
Greenpeace
right.
more, right?
Yeah. Right.
Who, again, your question to him was so poignant. Like, what do you regret? And he says nuclear,
Yeah,
right? That he
right.
didn't understand nuclear. And so I was listening to your show or watching your show replay this morning. And Nate, it's Nathan, correct?
Yeah, Nathan, yeah.
Yep. And so he's talking, you guys are talking about this nuclear, and I have a 30-foot view because of some business interests in the electric power industry. And so there, the thing that people have to understand is the power system globally is one, obviously, it controls, you can control people, right? Saddam Hussein browned out the majority of the country. So you would be frustrated as a citizen,
yeah,
right?
Right.
We see it in Africa all the time now. People have internet businesses, the government's dimmed down the internet connection. So you're trying to buy something from them through an online deal, and the internet connection gets shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Now you think they're a bunch of, you know, African rubes. No, the power of power, like electricity and internet, is such a, we don't, in America, we don't get it. 99.9% of the time, you flip your light switch, the power works.
Right.
That's not true in the majority of people living on this
planet. You're absolutely right. We take it completely for granted. That's right.
We are fat ass Americans.
Yes, we are.
To power.
That's right. Okay.
Because we're fat ass Americans with power, and don't believe Jeff Meyer. Look it up, call your legislator, representative, and say, who's the largest property taxpayer in my city, in my state? And you can let Jim know or get on Wednesdays if I'm here and say I'm full of shit. But my guess, and it should be, the electric power companies in your state pay the most property taxes.
That's right.
Oh, because they have all these power lines. So the circle jerk of power and taxation works like this. In Minnesota, we have Xcel is the major power producer. Then we have some co-ops and, you know, just some ankle biters.
Yeah.
So the state needs more revenue. What's the best way to do it? Raise property taxes, not on homeowners, but on businesses,
right,
which Xcel Energy is. So the Public Utilities Commission, Xcel goes to the Public Utilities Commission and says, we need a 5% rate hike for our power customers, already knowing that the state's going to raise their property taxes 3%.
Right.
So on average, in any state, your property taxes go up, but your power bill goes up about 1.5% more than the property taxes.
And forgive me, Jeff, am I right about this? When the power companies go to the regulatory commissions and ask that they can raise their rates, they're hardly ever refused, right?
Well, okay, so this is how it works. We need 5% knowing they're going to get raised 2.5%, and the regulation company will say, regulatory group says you get 3%. So they don't get, whatever their taxes are going up, they get just a smaller amount to stay ahead of the game.
Right, right.
Okay, so I'm sorry for, this is a long circle to get to. When people talk, okay, so when you think of electric, okay, so you got nuclear, right?
Yeah.
Because Greenpeace Moore says, I should have been more strident on what nuclear did. But, you know, again, everyone was afraid we're going to just die from radiation.
Right.
So what do we have? What do we have? Big windmills that kill birds.
Yeah,
that you're not supposed to kill birds.
That
kill
don't work worth shit.
Of birds a day.
Oh yeah, it's unbelievable.
Solar right. panels.
Right.
But in the end, what these two renewables do is it doesn't disrupt this course of the taxation loop. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you talk to these nuclear guys, because I've been at these conferences where these small nuke guys talk. And they talk about you getting a nuke plant, maybe regionally. Like, you know, these things are on like a semi-trailer or a China shipping container.
That's exactly right. That's what Nathan was talking about.
They're not very
big. Right.
You know, and they're not scary. These guys, this stuff could be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
The problem is it jumps the taxation part.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
But
I understand.
All of a sudden, the most important part of the power grid is the ability to get taxes to fluctuate whenever the government wants it.
You have explained this perfectly. It's like you came to...
And so they won't let any of this new technology that's out. It's already there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's an inventor in Minnesota that has taken... I think you've met him through a couple of calls a couple of years ago. The earth has a certain vibration to it, right? It rattles.
Yeah.
He's come up with a deal where you basically can stick a electrical generation little deal next to your house, and it would, as the earth rattles, this thing would generate power. And in the call, I said, well, how are they going to tax each homeowner for that? What do you mean tax? I'm like, dude, you don't get it. The tax is the important thing about of your power bill.
Yeah.
And they can't afford, they couldn't revamp the tax system and the tax collection funnel if everyone gets to go to Walmart and buy a little gizmo and bury it next to their house and drop the power lines.
Yeah. I would also posit that it's not that they can't. They can't. They're not imagined enough to figure out a way to do it.
Well, you said it earlier. They're not prepared.
No, they're not prepared. That's right.
They are not prepared. So when you say, oh, this windmill could solve things and this solar, it ain't going to solve shit.
No, it isn't.
Keep the same clown show in power.
That's correct. It's not going to solve shit.
That's it.
Hold it. Before you go on, I do have to ask you one thing, though. The thing about the solar panels is the solar farms do take up a lot of real estate. So I think that'd be some way, and maybe that's a reason they're more acceptable. I don't know. You tell me. I mean, since you have to buy, you need a lot of real estate to do it. You have land to tax.
Yeah, but it gets taxed kind of like a church, right?
Uh-huh.
It's sort of property tax. It's usually rural, right, in some kind of farm area.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, because there's not enough urban space. You can't put it, there's not enough flat roof space in a metropolitan area that doesn't get shaded.
Correct,
by the
that's right,
building.
That's right. You got to go out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes, yep.
Right.
But again, it's electric, so it's coming on a line once it comes out of the solar panel.
Right.
They love it.
Right.
Because nothing changes.
Right.
From a tax collection, tax raising, that whole circle.
I want to add a little story here. So here in Metro Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities, we have two major nuclear power plants. We have one in Monticello, Minnesota, to the immediate north, and we have one in Red Wing, Minnesota, to the immediate south. They're both about 15 miles outside of downtown Minneapolis. I don't know about the Monticello one, but I know about the Red Wing one. I know that you're talking, this goes exactly to your point. The Red Wing nuclear power plant pays, and it's in the city of Red Wing, within the city limits, pays about half of all the property taxes, or half of the whole tax bill that Red Wing, Minnesota collects. And it's 40 years old, and they're thinking about shutting it down. And I know the town is in a total panic because they don't know what they're going to do if they lose that money. They have no clue.
Right.
But it turns out, it looks like their license is going to be renewed yet again. So, you know, it's
Yeah. Well, the government doesn't want to spread... They get one check.
Yeah, that's right. They get one check.
That's good instead of trying to get $8 million.
Correct.
I know their bill used to be like $8 million a quarter or something like that. It was a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
And Excel would hold that check till the day it was due.
Uh-huh.
And they would drive it to the state bursar's office at 3:00.
Is this really, really, really true? Huh?
Yes. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I knew one of the lobbyists that used to work that was an Excel lobbyist. And I mean, he's the one who explained to me this game of property taxes and the public utility commissions.
Yeah.
So folks, check it out. If I'm wrong, prove me wrong. But if I'm right, it should piss you off because they don't explain this to you as a power consumer or as a citizen of this circle jerk that they've set up, where they can raise the tax rate on property taxes, your electric bill goes up, and everyone's like, well, Shit, Excel, those assholes want more money. Well, they've already been tipped off. They're going to have property tax increases. The other thing, if you're bored and you want to doom and gloom it, look up the 2050 plan. Just Google 2050. It's the world's power industry in
Oh
the
God,
third
I've
area.
seen this. What a bunch of crap. It's
I, it, I would have said 14 months ago it was crap. I went to a meeting about a year ago, this time a year ago, and sat in a symposium where they were explaining how this 2050 plan, which I'd heard about, never thought anything, but they're like, well, like 80% of that, the changes have to be done by 2030 to achieve the goals of 2050. And I'm thinking,
Right.
well, shit, that's like 7 years away.
Yeah.
And that's why they're talking about your washer, your dryer, your all this stuff. And there was a panel there, and there was a Canadian scientist who said, it still amazes me that even though America has probably the best smart grid, as in you don't need meter readers.
Right.
They have, if you look on a power pole, there's these funky little UFO looking things
Yeah.
that reads all the meters and sends you your bill. That even with this smart grid, the electric power industry, and they always pick on the US because we're fat and lazy,
Right.
they've never determined how many. So if you make 1 million kilowatts and you send it down a line or the lines, how much is at the end that isn't consumed? They don't, and no one knows,
No.
is it? They'll guess, oh, 5%, 10%. This Canadian dude's like, no one knows. Could be 40. We could produce it and not consume it, and then it's lost.
Right, it's lost. That's the big thing about batteries, or the big
You
thing about
got it.
solar panels. Okay, solar panels collect electricity from the sun. It's free, but we don't know shit about storing it. We can't store
Correct.
it.
Correct.
You know? This is
Yes.
crazy shit.
And there's been major corporations that have taken billions of dollars to try to figure out the storage,
Yeah.
and they can't do it.
No, they
I
can't
mean,
do
they
it.
basically
I
should have
know.
thrown the money in the air.
I know you're right. I know they're trying. They can't do it. No one's figured it out. So,
And I'm talking like NGK. Now you'll see the NGK on a spark plug, but they're power producing division is not the spark plug part of it. It's an electric generation part in Japan. And they've spent billions trying to figure out how to trap. Again, if you could have this storage unit at the end of the line, so you produce it, you don't leave the TV on at night when you go to bed, so you're not burning this stuff up. You figure out, I'm going to turn it off, and that produced power gets to the end of the line. There's no way to capture it there to redistribute it back and store it. And
yeah.
so the 2050 plan is super depressing. I think
Well,
people
Jeff,
should.
there's simply no way they can make the benchmark. They can't. They simply can't. No matter what they do, they're not going to make it.
Well, what they'll do is in the first world countries, they'll just tighten the screws on everyone. Because in the third world countries, Jim has his country next to Jeff's country. And Jim says, Jeff, you're an asshole. So you go out there with a high powered rifle and you shoot one of those glass insulators,
Oh yeah.
and down drops your ground line
Right.
or the hot side. And now, Jeff,
You're screwed.
you're an in the dark asshole. And that's how it works. In the third world countries, you just knock the insulator out and the high voltage line drops in.
I'm glad you brought this up because very few people realize that the technical problem with electricity is storage. It's not making it. We can make it to where blue in the fucking
Yeah,
face.
yes.
It's like we know how to do
We can
that.
make it. We got to figure out storage. But the biggest thing is, how do you uncouple the taxation part of your electric bill? Because it's just free money to the government.
So, Jeff, getting back to this thing about what Nathan was talking about. So, they're talking about these micro reactors that basically fit in shipping containers or large trucks. So, Now, I totally buy what you're talking about, but at some point, the government's going to figure out how to tax that. I mean, how would they do that? Just basically like bill people, or like, do you need a license to buy this thing, or and then they can keep
Oh,
track of you, or.
yeah. Well, they're not. What they're concerned about is people figuring out how screwed they've been.
Okay.
That's what they're worried about, right? It's like wastewater treatment plants and stuff. In Minnesota, we'll have the wastewater from a suburb 20 miles from the Mississippi River. It goes down these huge culverts
Yeah.
when they could just bring it into town and convert it and just leave, put it back into the water, right? But no, there's money in that. There's taxable, there's control, all that. So the system was built, and then efficiencies and the greatness of this country took over. And now, so now they're, these lines are going to start to intersect where people are going to say, well, why doesn't my town and the Upper Peninsula, why are we getting power produced in Detroit that's coming up this line 400 miles to the Upper Peninsula?
Yeah.
They'll say, well, we have some river generation from hydro. Yeah, but that doesn't create enough because it freezes in the winter and the water level may be down. And really, it would be more. So I don't, and if the city government would be super excited because they'd own the reactor, so they'd get the lion's share of the money. I guess maybe the state would say, the state and county would say, well, we're going to tax you accordingly. So anyway, I don't have the answer to that side. I just know we're stuck with this stupid solar and wind crap because it gets generated and it goes down the same line, whether like it came out of a coal plant or a nuke plant. It's on property. And so you wouldn't have to worry about all this property tax
Yeah.
because the lines would be just contained in a municipality.
Well, from a purely technical standpoint, I'm kind of okay with the solar panel thing, but the wind thing is nuts. It's crazy. And I told Patrick Moore, now that Brent brought him up, I said during that interview, I said 50 years from now, these things are going to be relics that are just going to be polluting the skyline. He said, no, it'll be way sooner than that. Here's what I don't know if you remember that. That's what he said. I mean, there's no, it's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. And also, you asked, started this whole interview here talking about what our purpose is. I mean, thinking about this, if I can accomplish two things with this show, it's one, give people like you a voice so they can talk, get a lot of people on, and two, I want to fucking rail on climate change, because this 2050 thing you're talking about, it's all based on climate change, and climate change is a joke. Climate change is bullshit. We don't have to do any of this shit, And yet they're pushing this stuff. You can't have a gas stove. You won't be able to have an air conditioner. We'll be living like third world countries because they say we have to. It's bullshit.
Yes, that is their goal.
It is.
Yes, yep.
You will own nothing and you will be happy, It's
Yeah,
like.
right. And you'll live in a government subsidized home and make a living wage.
Yes, correct. Right.
So yeah, I would, I just say to people, check out this 2050 plan. It's a brutal read. Skip to the 2030 plan. It kind of enlightens you because the power generation companies around the country and around the world, they already have their balls are in the vise, and it's just a slow crank because they know they can't go to you and me and say, well, we got this problem with electric power generation. They go to the power generators, and they're already pushing this on there. The other thing about solar is, and you don't hear much about it, the solar farms, they're finding a lot of contamination of the
Yeah,
soil.
I've heard this, right.
A
That's
lot.
right.
So Jim at Night has a 5 megawatt array on 300 acres in Timbuktu, Minnesota. He's making his money, but he's looking out going, shit, the grass and the trees around this thing are dying. I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to just disappear and leave it to the county.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm going to give you this solar array knowing it's got this contamination issue. I mean, what does that sound like? The leaky gas tanks in the gas station.
It does. Right? No, you're absolutely
Why
right.
You need a super fund to clean
it does.
Up
That's right.
This beautiful agricultural land in the middle of nowhere.
The other thing they never talk about is the fact that those panels last at very most 20 years, usually only about 10, 12, you know, before they need to be, before they don't work anymore, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, you got 100 in a string and four are busted, so the whole string shot.
Yeah. Is that actually true? Do they wire them in serial? Really?
They do. They are in series, but they say they can bring them down into, you know, individual things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got the people
like
of them.
They haven't found D.B. Cooper's money yet.
No,
yeah.
That's right.
Can we go to the Fed, to the Treasury, and actually scan the serial numbers? I mean.
I was just going to say they said the same thing in the Montauk Air Force Base when the UFOs disabled all the nuclear missiles, you know. Right, same thing, you know, right?
Right.
Hey,
yes.
Before you go, I have one question here. Wrapping up this whole discussion. So, this country was founded because of taxation, you know. No representation.
Yes. Yes.
You know, at what point
History
are Americans
repeats,
are,
Jim.
What was that?
History repeats.
Yeah, that. At what point are Americans going to say enough? I mean, they've taxed us.
Well, it's coming. You have 300 billion that, or 300 million every. Ukraine's burn rate is like 200 million a month.
Yeah,
some outrageous number.
Right.
Right, and we're not talking that's Afghan and our army. It's a bunch of frickin' hayseeds from the Ukraine fighting old Soviet stuff.
Well, and you know, Jeff, and this gets lost in this whole thing, but I just read somebody bringing this up recently. You have to remember that the Ukraine government is still at least as corrupt as the Russians, if not more, even to this day. You know, they got this Zelensky guy, comedian, seems to be honest, maybe is. Doesn't matter. They're all the people underneath them, they're all on the fucking take. You know, the whole
and
fucking thing.
And the U.S. and the Russians have an axe to grind. Because Ronald Reagan, who was the first president I got to vote for, I mean, I voted for him. It was the first election, forced the Soviet Union, the USSR, into bankruptcy. And I'll just give a quick history. There was nuclear after World War II, right? We had nuclear bombs.
Right.
We had this mutual nuclear destruction, which they told us citizens, no one's going to start shooting it because you're going to get wiped out. By the time we launch and they launch, both countries will be wiped out.
Yeah.
So Reagan comes up with this idea, well, let's fake the Russians. They're almost broke, right? We take for granted. If we have a farm, they couldn't feed their people because their farm tractors didn't work. They were old,
right.
Shitty things.
Nobody could fix them. Right.
They're commies, so there was no money to be made in figuring out how to make them run.
Correct.
Here, you got Case IH, you got John Deere. They're competing. My tractor never breaks down.
Well, it's so perfect. They were perfect proof, Jeff, that communism doesn't work. You know?
Yes.
Right.
So we forced them into bankruptcy, right?
I mean,
does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
So Star Wars is a bunch of bullshit. Reagan's selling them like, oh, you shoot one up, we got this laser up there, it'll take off and we'll zap it in the middle of your country. We won't have to shoot any, you'll be destroyed, we won't. This is the same thing as I look at what's going on. History's repeating itself. They're trying to force us into bankruptcy with your big goal, climate change.
Yeah.
China, Russia, who do I have on my list? China, Russia, India, Pakistan, they can say they're all for this climate change. They don't have a free press. None of these places have free presses. So our press will force us into bankruptcy for climate change, which all these guys want to see because the Russians have said these assholes did it to us. we want to do it to them.
Yeah.
They did it on Star Wars. We're going to do it on climate change. And we have an open border, which means we are being infiltrated by who knows who. And Sam Walton taught everyone in retail, why was there a greeter at the front door of Walmart?
I don't know.
Why did Sam Walton do that?
I'm assuming to make people feel good, but you tell me.
Yep. But you know what they felt good about? You walked in and grabbed a cart. I was standing there and said, welcome. You went on your way. Their shoplifting went down 50%.
No shit.
Because of the human contact.
Really?
Now, our borders used to be where we would catch people and have that interaction.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's exactly
what
it was.
Too many people jumping the border.
That's right.
To even get that interaction. So now you have the ones we catch are maybe 10%. They may not want to do evil things. The ones that never have contact till they get to where they're going. And this is an assumption on my part. Sam Walton knew when he put the greeters there, their shoplifting went down.
Yeah.
And they could measure it. Our borders used to be, that's why we had Ellis Island. You came, who are you? What can you do? Are you healthy? Welcome, or you got to go back.
Yeah.
That's been gone for how many years? And now we have this infiltration. And I think between the wide open border and this frickin' global warming, we could be on the verge of some serious shit we're not prepared for. And why aren't we prepared for it? Because our government isn't prepared for it.
Yeah. That is so wise of you. I never thought, but you're absolutely right. I mean, up until this boondoggle of a border we have in the last 3 years, yes, everybody got talked to. Everybody got vetted. You know, even the people who said they were looking for asylum, everybody got, now, and if you don't have any human contact, you don't have any skin in the game at all, you know?
Right.
I never thought of that. That's really
super scary. And again, the Russians want to force us into the same pain they went through by being faked out by a bunch of BS.
Yeah. And also, I mean, just to reiterate what you've said, Putin's been going on ever since this happened in 93. He's been going on about the fact that you know, they've been bemoaning the loss of the Soviet Union. I mean, you know, I mean, they have. You know, it's basically like if the United States collapsed and you only have the states left, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, and we outgunned them economically. That's the reason they lost.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and we beat their hockey team in 1980. I mean, stuff happened to them, right?
Yeah.
That they're like, what?
Yeah.
A bunch of college kids beat our team?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on with us?
Right, right. And so, yeah, I know they're even the average citizens. I have a friend who not during COVID, but has basically gone over to do business in Russia two or three times a year. And he's told me, he said the average Russian citizen still is really pissed off about the fact that the Soviet Union collapsed, you know?
Yes, right.
So.
Yep. That's an odyssey from Jeff Meyer from Conk.com.
Sorry, yeah.
Folks. You got on the ride. It's coming to an end.
You did. That was a nice big circle though, Jeff. You started with bankruptcy and ended with bankruptcy. That's pretty cool.
Gloom and doom. But folks, don't forget, in the worst times, there were people that said, I can do something great because I'm in America, and they made a ton of money.
That's right. Yes, don't forget that.
Just remember, it's up to you to make your destiny.
Absolutely.
It's up to no one else. Look in a mirror. The person in the mirror is in charge.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, sir. I appreciate this a lot.
Have a good time in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, I will. It'll be good. I'm not going to be shooting at anything, but yeah, that's fine. It's good.
That's right.
So,
Escanaba.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll see you.
All right.
Take care. Jeff Meyer from Conk.News. No, yeah, Conk.News. You can get to that website either with Conk.News or Conk.com. Either way, either one works. I'm going to put a link on our blog to Conk News tonight, too. So we should just have that. So, and Jeff will be back, too. I love Jeff because he's always got a different take on everything, you know? And you may not agree, and that's fine, but the thing is, at least he's making you think, you know? He makes me think, too. So, folks, we're going to end this show tonight early. I don't have any UFO news. I didn't have a chance to collect any. I'm not going to take your phone calls. So we're going to end up. You know, like he said, I'm going to the UP tomorrow at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So, and it's 11. It's after 11 here now. So, you know, I got to get my shit together. So as I said at the top of the show, tomorrow we're off. Monday, John Miller. Tuesday, the King Brothers. I know the following Monday, Larry Newman's coming back. And then we have, I can announce this because we did confirm this. This is a week from Tuesday. So 2 weeks from yesterday. So what day is that? Is it the 24th, I think? Eddie Scarry is going to be on. I don't know if you've known him. He's a regular guest on Fox News. He wrote a couple of really interesting books. One is called Liberal Misery, if I'm right, which is the reason I know him. So, you know, he subscribes to the same theory I've been talking about for quite a while, and that is the thing with liberals is not a political thing. It's a personality issue. That's what this book is about. Basically, he wrote a book I wanted to write. So we're going to talk to him. That should be a great interview. Looking forward to that, too. So anyway, folks, I want to thank you for watching. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to all of you, wherever you are. And I will see you not tomorrow, but Monday. Take care, everyone.